Welcome back to the Global Greek Influence Podcast. I'm Panagiotou Epimenidou. To be up to date with the news from the Global Greek Influence Podcast and suggest your topics, subscribe, like, and review the Global Greek Influence Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor FM, Amazon Music, and four more podcasting platforms. You can contact the Global Greek Influence through the podcast, Facebook and Twitter accounts, the podcast website, globalgreekinfluence.com, and LinkedIn page. Today, I'm excited to host the Hellenic European Leadership Council to discuss their Youth Leaders Program. The Hellenic European Leadership Council, or the HELC, was founded to connect and activate Greeks in the diaspora of Europe, the Middle East, and Africa to help on the principle of common purposes and national interests. The HELC is open to voluntary participation and calls for members and representatives throughout Europe and the Middle East of all professions, with a focus on those in government, finance, international politics, NGOs, and the academia. HELC aims to expand a Greek Matters interests network of young and experienced professionals in international politics, governance, and diplomacy, and their broader scope, to inform and communicate to the host countries' societies about Greece, Cyprus, and their neighborhood, focusing on the common interests and values of the host countries, to promote and diffuse the Greek causes in the host countries' parliaments and public bodies, and boost joint partnerships and alliances. We are today with Despina Tripiliotti and Angeliki Tsabazi, HELC, also the Young Leaders Program Organizing Committee members, and two of the 2022 HELC Young Leaders, Angeliki Martinou and Konstantinos Kolokotronis. Welcome to the show, Angeliki, Despina, Angeliki and Konstantina.
Good evening, Panagiota. We're delighted to be part of a podcast we have been admiring, and as a board member and a member of HELC and the YLP committee. Again, I would like to thank you for your interest. You have presented us better than I could ever imagine. As you said, HELC is only a 2.5-year-old organization, but has been very proactive in the UK and Europe, hopefully Middle East and Africa as well, collating like a mosaic of new members, active members, members who are willing, you know, anonymously or eponymously to collaborate in promoting our values in a non-partisan, long-term way of securing any political, diplomatic, and economic leverage for Greece's geopolitical interests. For the founders, their main interest has always been the young generation. Hence, since we started straight ahead, bang on, we started the Young Leaders Program to bring these professionals together, to be precise as well, to follow the successful example of Hellenic America diaspora and other diasporas of Israel, Lebanon, among others, to create an aspiring lobbying body and, if you could say, a society that could cooperate both abroad and within the country and promote Greece's geopolitical interests, particularly these challenging times we're finding ourselves into. Without further ado, I would like to invite Angeliki Tsabazi, pretty much the soul of the program since year one, to talk a little bit about how we started the program, how it went the first cohort and the second cohort this year.
Thank you, Despina, and thank you, Panagiota. I would like to thank, on behalf of HELC, Global Greek Influence Podcast, for having us today. It's a great pleasure discussing with you about HELC and YLP. So, as Despina mentioned, Young Leaders Program was launched in 2021. So we count already 2 years of the fantastic cohorts of young leaders. And we're aiming to launch our third cohort in 2023. So the aim of Young Leaders Program is to accelerate and support the professional development and leadership skill set of a group of young students from the Greek Cypriot and the diaspora. And we aim to support them through the leadership journey to become the community leaders of the future and drive change, create an impact in the society. With great pleasure, we have here Angeliki and Konstantinos today, two great examples of our work in YLP and HELC. And I just would like to mention that we had great feedback, positive feedback from our previous two cohorts. They are still members, they are still contributing, and we are very happy that we're still continuing our hard work
It's very interesting. We heard from you about the aspirations for the Young Leaders Program. So I think it's now time to listen to two of the young leaders from the HELC 2022 cohort, Angeliki Martinou and Konstantinos Kolokotronis. Allow me here to start with introducing Angeliki and Konstantinos. Angeliki Martinou did her bachelor's at the Pantheon University of Social and Political Sciences in Athens on International, European and Area Studies with International Relations Orientation, and her dissertation was on the Grand Strategy and Foreign Policy of Eleftherios Venizelos 1928-1932. She now finishes her Master's of Arts at Brunel University in the UK on Intelligence and Security Studies. Angeliki has also been a researcher as an intern at the Panhellenic Federation of Armed Forces Unions and a trainee at the Diplomatic Academy of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Hellenic Republic. Konstantinos Kolokotronis studied politics, political science and government at the University of Peloponnese in Greece and now at the University of Leicester in the UK. Konstantinos is interested in the United States politics, international relations, security studies, international law, as well as the law of the sea. He writes articles and opinion pieces on politics and international relations on his Medium page at PolitiBlog 21. Angeliki Konstantine, welcome again. And I would like to start by asking you, what are some of the reasons you pursued the leadership program by the HELC?
So thank you for the introduction. Well, first of all, I was lucky enough to stumble upon a post of the HELC on Twitter about their new cohort for this year. So I basically just took the chance and applied. I do have to say that I'm very, very, very happy that the application was also easy. These projects, they can be very tedious. I do have a habit every year to kind of, every summer actually, to kind of look at what conferences exist over the summer that I can do or seminars. So it was already in my plans to do so. Moreover, I would say being a Greek abroad and for a couple of months here, I was actually longing for something that would give me this sense of community. And I definitely got that from YLP and the HELC. Yeah, and on top of that, we had subjects that involved my professional aspirations. So this was a win-win for me.
How about you, Konstantine? What made you apply for the YLP program at the HELC?
The most central aspect of it was that, I mean, it obviously reminded me of the HELC, the Hellenic American Leadership Council, which I've been keeping track of for the past 2 or 3 years of my studies. So I guess that's how I got interested, you know, gradually about, you know, advocacy, about lobbying, I guess, more broadly. And it was basically the successes of the you know, Hellenic and Hellenic Cypriot lobbies in the U.S. Congress that got me, you know, that got me more interested, increasingly more interested. And I think also the fact that HELC was based in the U.K., where I was also studying, also played, of course, a very significant part. And I thought, you know, since I'm studying, you know, politics and IR, and I'm also developing an interest. And advocacy, lobbying, I thought it was a great idea to apply and, you know, be part of this.
As the name of the YLP program of HELC suggests, it pursues to instill leadership for the Greek causes and promote them. Today, we have many definitions of leadership, which are a mix of old, current, experiential and sectorial contexts. The most promoted type of style of leadership is that of an inclusive leader or a transformational leader. As our world is constantly changing, what is your definition of leadership and how was it formed or has it transformed or transformed you? And let's start with the two young leaders, Angeliki and Konstantinos.
Yeah, so for me, I think this question is kind of tricky because we need to step back and think. When we talk about leadership, I think there's a connotation to it with political leadership. But I think now when we talk about leadership, we talk about everyday people as well. This doesn't necessarily have to do with any kind of professionals, let alone political ones. So I think leadership basically has to do with ultimately and primarily one thing, and that is to take initiative. And this is what HELC and the YLP program has promoted a lot from the very beginning. And this is what I appreciate the most. It's about, so leadership, I would say, maybe I'm not in the position yet or at any time to make my own definition, but I can say there are a couple of elements to it. And one is that of taking initiative, that of being a person who's cultivating themselves in a very holistic way, balancing their professional life and their personal life as well. So ultimately a very well-rounded person that can advocate for themselves and also take initiative, I would say.
How about you, Konstantine? What is your definition of leadership?
First of all, I don't think that, inclusiveness and, you know, being a transformative leader, I don't think that these are two mutually exclusive aspects. Being a leader is a very dynamic process overall, so it can include many different parts, many different aspects of a person's personality and attributes. So for me, being a leader is devising or acting upon initiatives backed up by collective consensus or consent. So I think, you know, this is very important to stress that a leader is not somebody who necessarily stands above the group, but, you know, is part of a group, is a working member of a group. So there is this harmony in that sense. So because, you know, often, you know, leadership is mostly associated with concepts such as centralization or, you know, authoritativeness, you know, authoritative guidance and all that. But, you know, I've always been of the opinion that it is, in practice, it's always more of a multilateral process than it might seem. And I think the HELC team and also, you know, the YLP program definitely reflects all of this.
Indeed, leadership is based on personal perspectives, and this is why I'm asking your perspective. Unfortunately, these days, it seems that even characterizing or putting into categories, leadership is part of some sort of marketing. So I would like to ask the same question to Despina Tripilioti and to Angeliki Tsapazi. What is your definition of leadership and how was it formed for you, or how has it transformed you through your membership at the HELC and co-organizing the Young Leaders Program?
I don't think I can do as well as the Young Leaders did. That's why I'm not part of the cohort. No, as a finance professional for the last 15 years, Panagiota, I'm a credit trader now. I used to be an investor in the past, both buy side and sell side. It has been very revealing to me, in substance, the Young Leaders have added in what comes as a leadership. And they have actually enhanced many core values of HELC. And I'll be more specific. First of all, with their enthusiasm and commitment to the program, both this cohort and last cohort, they gave me a clear, clear example of impact leadership, which is what I endorse both in my professional life as well as like my minimal civic duties. Part of it is volunteering for HELC, being honored to volunteer for HELC. Second is that, and I can give even further examples, both participants network very well. They interacted bilaterally with many of our distinguished speakers. They found further career advice, helped each other in finding job back in the continent as well as the UK. We also got a lot of intelligence by them, a lot of inspiring new things to look at, particularly referring to the current things that go on at the moment, very important things that go on at the moment. That for me has been like the impact leadership they added. It has been a huge success. Second, the collegiate atmosphere that came straight from then fit as a glow with HELC, because we're a very flat structure organization and we encourage everyone to offer as much as they want, to offer as much impact as they want and as they wish to. And what Angeliki mentioned as well, as an initiative, we're big advocates of that. So they also, their attitude and manners fit very well our flat structure. And lastly, I would say, because you asked me like how I envisage leadership altogether, is exactly that you have people that they pursue their own ideas to the end and not value for the longer end. That is, I'm afraid to say, a bit mathematical from my financial background, but I can see it fitting very well in what HELC wants to and wishes to do, what other initiatives for Greece need to do. And I think the more the more we allow young generation to come forward, the more the quicker and more profound the results will be.
I think these days there is a cross-feed and a cross-cultivation between different sectors when it comes to even such terms as leadership. And maybe these days, the days we live now, are the ones that are closest to what the ancient Greek philosophers envisaged, in a sense that there is a holistic approach to many aspects of our lives, including the economy, especially if we compare the way we perceive economy, the different professions today and 50 years ago. How about you, Angeliki?
With what Despina concluded to, that was very powerful, I would say, to bring the younger generation forward. And I'm really glad that both of the young leaders, Angeliki and Konstantinos, enjoyed the program and find it quite impactful for their personal journey. And I would say that I'm quite glad because this reflects our work in health and wellbeing in particular. We try to have a bottom-up leadership, actually, that is quite democratic. We want all the voices to be heard, to reach out to different kinds of individuals, to have impactful conversations, dialogues, and discuss. This is a very essential element in leadership, open discussions, dialogues between individuals. I would say that a modern leader, in a way, should be empathetic. It's quite important to understand the needs of people, interact with them, and understand the dynamics of the different kinds of communities, as you mentioned, Panayota. Leadership should be empathetic, should be democratic, meritocratic, definitely sustainable and innovative. We must always adapt our practices in the current times and make sure that we get the sense of democracy the way it is, represent the individuals in the best possible way. I'm glad that we are able to cultivate that in YLB and make sure that everyone has their own unique voice, and this is very well vocalized in a way. So I would say that the modern leaders should be very empathetic, democratic, meritocratic, sustainable practices, and innovative ideas.
Moving on to the enjoyable parts of the Young Leaders Program, I'm going to ask the two young leaders of the 2022 cohort by HELC, what are your most memorable experience and takeaways from the program?
Yeah, so if I may start, I would say definitely memorable was our visit to the High Commission of the Republic of Cyprus in June in London. Because basically that was the first time we got to see each other as well in person, and we were lucky enough in this transition through COVID to have the program be hybrid. So that was definitely a really, really nice day because we got to see each other and we had a fun day in London too. And also you don't really get the chance to be in these environments often, obviously. We had a great discussion with the ambassador, then we had a drink, and then we had the chance to just talk to each other a little bit and get to know each other, which is also part of what the program is meant to be. I would say personally, I even though that's the most memorable experience for me, I also really enjoyed the seminars because with each of them I got just tiny bits of advice for my personal journey. I got some advice, for example, for funding opportunities I could get for my future PhD. And the takeaways from the program, I would say the key takeaway for me is the power of networking. This was very evident through all of our sessions. We got some very, very helpful tips from a few professionals. And that's also another thing with the program that's really important, that you get to have these very closed, kind of intimate and but also casual one-on-ones with professionals. We don't really get to do that as well. So I really enjoy that.
How about you, Costadine? What is the most memorable experience for you?
Well, I think, first of all, I should say that, you know, every and each one of the seminars we had, the sessions we had, you know, they were unique. And obviously, you know, each one of them was hosting a leader in, you know, the respective field. when it comes to, you know, business, economics, or politics. So, of course, that was very valuable and a unique experience to us to be able to hear firsthand from how, you know, people, you know, network, how they do their work, essentially how they operate at the seams of politics, policymaking, and advocacy altogether, all those three. But I think my personal highlight, I would say, was undoubtedly our visit to the High Commission of the Republic of Cyprus. When Asagiliki noted, first of all, okay, we had the opportunity to meet each other in real life and not through, you know, the our screens, I guess. But also, you know, it was an amazing opportunity, you know, to be able to meet with the High Commissioner himself. So we had the chance to carefully listen to and reflect on an extensive brief on the current state of affairs on the island of Cyprus and the East Med. I mean, which I personally found very valuable with regards to the nature of what I'm studying, which is politics, and also the a topic of my dissertation, which is Greek-Turkish relations. So yeah, for me, that was definitely the highlight. But overall, I would say, you know, the program offered valuable and much appreciated insight into how, you know, politics, business, those two spheres that may seem separate in some occasions, how they intertwine, and, you know, the ways through which activism can, you know, push through, and that's where advocacy can also play a very important role, very significant role, introducing, you know, introducing, promoting, or amending, you know, many policy-making initiatives in the favor of Greek interests or whichever other cause, you know, one espouses and actively promotes. So I guess that's my takeaway on a more technical note, if you wish.
My next question is for all of you, but I will start again with the two young leaders. We all read the news, or those who lead the communication of news in traditional and social media. What is the biggest challenge leaders are facing today?
If I may start, I would say, the ever-changing environment we live in, and with everything being so volatile, it's very difficult to confront that. And we had a seminar with Anne-Michelle Asimakopoulou, and at some point we kind of had a similar Q&A. So she mentioned that basically for young leaders, what they need to be able to do is be very adaptable. So this is where I would go. The other thing I do want to mention is that perhaps the digital environment itself may cause some issues for leaders in the future, but definitely for me, it's the pushback we get with a couple of changes that we're probably facing.
Well, I think there are two sets of challenges. First of all, it has to do with the you know, with where the leaders essentially come from, with what they, you know, how they stand vis-a-vis the, you know, international environment, vis-a-vis the, you know, the structure, if you wish. So I think nowadays we experience, I would argue this is worldwide, you know, a lack of vision and creativity with regards to leadership. The problem sometimes, you know, they remain the same. Some other times, as we see, you know, they develop further, they become very more complicated. And, you know, and while this happens, lacking vision, creativity, essentially adaptability, if a leader lacks those three, then it becomes nearly impossible to face those ever-changing challenges head on. And then I would argue that it is also the structure, the system structure overall, you know, international developments, the state of foreign affairs, and interstate relations on a more political level, I guess. So that also plays a role. I think a leader needs to have insight and be able, if not to predict what's going to happen, you know, to be ready to have all scenarios available before him on how to respond, you know, so as to be steadfast, his or her response, and, you know, to tackle the problems and, you know, issues head on in an effective, fair, and overall, I guess, successful way.
Angeliki Tsapazi and Despina, what is the biggest challenge leaders face today?
If I may start as well, Despina, I would argue that the general atmosphere of public distrust from the people in general and the arbitrariness of the state as well. We all know that with great power comes great responsibility, and leaders should be ready to take responsibility and be responsible of their actions not only of the, if we take it on the political scope, not only of the party actions, but on the action of the government as well, the leading way. I would say that it's not an easy thing to serve the public interest and the common good, but for those aiming to do so, they must be ready to take the responsibility. It's quite challenging this day to make sure that you represent fairly, as Konstantinos mentioned, public interest and the people in general, and make sure that you're leading in an inclusive way, democratic way, in a meritocratic way.
I would say, because I've thought of it, I'm lucky enough to have thought of it in the past, but also I was given a platform, you know, to think about it and act upon it within HELP. I would say the biggest challenge I consider is to leave a viable legacy. And what I mean by that, it is not only vision, it's I love sailing, right? So I would like to think Greece, to be clear, as well as a sailing boat, but the world as well as a big sailing boat. So it's like, can you recalibrate your compass to lead people to a new route? That be the kind of like whatever you want, you know, like more appreciation and proper appreciation to the human rights, ensuring, you know, for the younger generation to have fairer access to more opportunities, the digital transformation to actually with the economy, you know, the challenge, the globalization that we are having is immense. Whatever you, from manufacturing of goods, for delivering services, and all the aspects around it. So I haven't seen in my life so far someone new that I can say, okay, he's leaving the legacy that previous leaders, either in politics or in science or in philosophy or in the actual economy, in business, have left in the past. But I'm not, having said that, I'm not in misery. I think we have all the, actually, I think we have all the skill set, soft skills inside education to achieve that. And many of the traits, personality traits that you can find within Greeks, I think they can help us put our country back on the map, rebrand our nation, and rebrand, you know, each of us individually and in a collective way. And somehow, if I dare to say, carry on a little bit of the legacy our ancestors left. This goes back to what you said as philosophy. I think, again, in concluding that, there has been a lot of things answered in the works of the great philosophers. One of it, putting a responsibility and duty ahead of the perks. So this is something that I wish I could remind everyone in a position of leadership and responsibility nowadays.
I think, Despina, your last remarks call for a roundtable discussion. And there is plenty to say there about why we don't see visionaries in politics or in science. I don't think there is a lack of talent or visionaries. Sometimes it's the environment that surrounds these people that we might never get to know them. As we approach the end of our discussion, I have one last question for the two young leaders, Angeliki Martinou and Konstantinos. How would you advocate the HELK by becoming its ambassador in the future?
Yeah, so for me, this is something that I've already communicated with the members of HELK, and that is that I would be very happy to get involved into events of bigger or smaller nature, perhaps. We were also discussing perhaps setting up a conference based on what we discussed at the High Commission, which would also be fantastic. I'm also very keen on writing myself, so writing anything or posting anything on the HELK's website for public engagement purposes, I would love to do that. And also perhaps maybe helping out with attracting or finding new people for the next year's program, I would also be very happy to do that.
And I think, first of all, it's very important to keep in touch with the organizers, with this year's Young Leaders cohort, first of all, and, you know, to effectively, you know, take advantage of any network opportunities, any further network opportunities that might come up in the future, to connect with all members belonging in it, and especially, you know, young leaders, for example, from last year's cohort as well. So I think networking within the organization and beyond it, of course, is an important part to it. Secondly, I mean, it's also very important, I think, to be open, you know, to be open-minded and provide the assistance, offer feedback on expanding the health's reach and scope, and of course, actively promote it, you know, whenever possible. For example, you know, in my case, you know, in my university campus, I guess, on a more grassroots level, and definitely encourage participation among, you know, likely-minded Greek students, members of the diaspora, and of course, you know, beyond that as well. And lastly, I guess it's in every one of us has the opportunity to work for initiatives that aim at introducing or amending policies in favor of Greek interests in the future, whether that is in the context of the HELC or beyond it, or in association with the HELC, of course. So I think that's a very important part that also highlights, you know, I mean, it's more based on our individual, of course, capacity and what we can do and how we can do that.
And one last question for Angeliki Tsapazi and Despina. HELC is open to new members and is a non-profit organization. Would you tell us how one can join, support, or connect with you?
We're going to distribute as well the links. The HELC is open to everyone interested. We have ourselves benefited from all the communication interaction we have had with members and friends of HELC across the globe, actually. We have even expanded beyond our region. We're going to distribute the website. Is a good start because you can apply from there. You can get it in touch directly with me or Angeliki. And the other members. Yeah, it's a very straightforward application process, as Angeliki mentioned, for the YLP. I've seen more members that are enjoying as well the forum we have online. They're interacting a lot to the causes we're pursuing slowly but gradually. Everyone's contributing, and if anything, like, there is, you know, it's like a vital organization. It keeps on growing. So yeah, I would say first come to the website and get in touch, and we're going to get you as well in touch with the people more relevant to your interests and your field of specialization.
And I would probably add on that as well, that for the audience that might be interested to find out more about what we're actually doing day to day in the Young Leaders Program with our members, and generally when we host seminars with our members and for our members as well, we're aiming to cover different kind of subjects across various industries: public policy, international trade, economics, finance. So anyone really that has an interest towards that field is more than welcome to communicate with us and reach out to find out more. In terms of the Young Leader programs, those that probably want to volunteer and help us on that as well, they can mentor our young leaders, they can support us in the seminars, and share their expertise and make sure that this knowledge is transmittable to our young leaders. We create, as we mentioned earlier, open dialogues and conversations with our members who are experts. And we also invite strong allyships. We're always happy to advance developments with sister organizations that are always aiming to promote Greek interests abroad.
Yeah, what I would finally like to add here is, like, what we have seen in only our less than 3 year operating period is that because, as you mentioned, Panayota, it's a non-for-profit organization, it's funded solely by donations. But what we have found is all people who came along, who contributed non-monetary and monetary-wise, they keep on mentioning how we improve, for example, the round tables we offer for our members, on geopolitics, on business, and we'll keep on, as the community grows, the impact will grow. Therefore, anyone's time and ideas are more than valuable. Yeah, and as I said, to face the challenges ahead and to promote more constructively and substantially the Greek causes.
Thank you, Angeliki Martinou, Costantina Kolokotroni, Angeliki Tsapasi, and Despina Tupiliotti, on behalf of HELC, for accepting the invitation to the Global Greek Influence Podcast and discussing the HELC Young Leaders Program.
Thank you so much on behalf of HELC. Thank you.
Thank you all for staying until the end. Stay tuned for another podcast episode every two Sundays on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and six more podcasting platforms. For more exciting live stream interviews, subscribe to the YouTube channel Yota Pimenidou and hit the notification button. Until next time.